Last Days Roadmap. Are you ready, Michael? Go ahead and put that one up there. This really is the Last Days Roadmap. Why? Because the Last Days Roadmap is Israel. God's people. Chosen people, really. Well, because God likes them better. He thinks they're cooler. No, God is saying, watch this group. You will see much, if not most, of my attributes. What do you mean? Well, in 2000 BC, God chose a man. And then 1500 BC, Moses steps forward, and God then creates a nation. And then approximately 1400 BC, they move into the promised land. Very important stuff. Keep an eye on my promised land. And then 606 BC, Israel would not listen to her prophets that God had sent her. And so God, in accordance to Deuteronomy chapter 28, right around verse 49, I'm going to bring a nation, singular, speaking of King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. 606 BC also coincides roughly with the book of Hosea, chapter 1, about verse 9. Name your second child, not my people, because Israel is not my people, and I am not her God. What do you mean? Because you quit, Lord? No, it's because they have quit on me again and again. Not my people kind of started with what theologians refer to as the servitude of the nations. Israel's last sovereign king was Josiah's boy, and they will not have another sovereign king until Messiah. Well, wait a minute, you say, what about 1948? Yeah, there are elected officials and a very effective democracy is in place. But God talks about a king, and that king, the Prince of Peace, is coming. Well, 606 BC, not my people. And then Palm Sunday, April the 6th, 32 AD, there was Jesus on the Mount of Olives. Oh my, what a picture. Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord depart Jerusalem from where? The Mount of Olives. And then all that time later, fulfilling 173,880 days to the day, Jesus is standing back on the Mount of Olives. On the day that Daniel said he would be there, on the donkey. Behold, said Zechariah 9 verse 9, your king is here. He's meek and lowly and riding on the firstborn of a donkey. So much Levitical imagery practically shouting from the Mount of Olives, but they missed it. Started out good. They were singing the Hallel, proclaiming him to be Messiah, until he got to Jerusalem, and instead of kicking out Romans and behaving as they thought he should behave, he turns over the tables, and as a nation, he is rejected. Palm Sunday, 32 AD, also marks the beginning of the church age. The church is actually born on Pentecost, about 50 days after. So the church age, then it will run until when? Until it's run its course. The bride has done and performed all that the Father has asked of her. The Father says to the Son, go get your bride. That rapture then ends the church age. 70 AD, that's important. That's when the Romans are allowed to come through. That's fulfilling Deuteronomy 28, right around verse 65, when they will be scattered to all the nations, plural. 70 AD, the Romans are allowed to come in by the Lord with five legions, and they destroy the temple. And the Jews are scattered all over the world, just like Deuteronomy 28 have prophesied. The next big time on this timeline, this Last Days Roadmap, 1948. In one day, May 14th in our calendar, God allows the Jews to have their homeland, promised land, once again. But there's more to the story. Ezekiel chapter 37 tells us When they come into the land, they're sort of rebirthed like those bones on that very dry, dry plain. Can these bones be made to live? Israel's been scattered for so long, 19 centuries. Speak, prophesy to these bones. And they came together, and muscle and sinew and skin came upon them, but there was no breath. That is prophetic of Israel. They'll come together first without breath. A secular nation, by and large, which they are now. But you keep reading there in chapter 37 of Ezekiel. Now God says, time for the breath. The Spirit of God, prophesy. Come, ye four winds, says the prophet of God. And then the breath of God comes into them. They stood up and became an exceedingly great army. That hasn't happened yet. Remember Palm Sunday? Jesus said, because he knew he was going to be rejected, he stopped the parade and began to weep over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, you missed this. The day that you could have been my people again. But because you have rejected me, blindness in part will be upon the nation of Israel. Until when? Until they look upon me, Jehovah God, whom they pierced. When does that happen? That's the next important point on the roadmap. The midpoint of the tribulation. The tribulation is 7 years long because it's the 70th week of years mentioned in Daniel chapter 9. It's 7 years long, and the first half the Jews have embraced who as their Messiah? Not Jesus, but none other than the Antichrist himself. Just like Jesus prophesied when he was there, he said, I come in my Father's name, the Father, the only Father, and you will not receive me. But there will come one who will come in his own name, the Antichrist, him you will receive. And Isaiah prophesies that. Isaiah says, my people are going to make a covenant with hell. That's all prophesying that the first half of the tribulation, the Jews will embrace the Antichrist himself as their Messiah. Why? Well, because he got him a temple. There's no temple functioning now, but it's not far away, I can assure you. And then, of course, he gives them security. If you mess with Israel, you're going to mess with me, he says. So they are assured safety, and they are given this temple. The first 3.5 years, the first 1,260 days, they're so over the moon about that, that they believe that this Antichrist is their Messiah. Will God leave the planet without a witness? Nope. In fact, he's going to send two. Psalm 83 scenario that we have teachings on will likely happen. You're going to see a tremendous Middle Eastern war that Israel, the IDF themselves, is prophesied in Isaiah and Obadiah and a number of other locations, that the IDF is going to be emboldened by the Lord and become very, very successful. Will the battle of Psalm 83, which we have teachings on, in fact, if you want that specific development, go to our website, look under prophecy, and it'll be there. The powerful prophecy of Psalm 83. All the players are in place. Is that the scenario that may include nuclear weapons discharged? Is that what makes the whole world clamor? Somebody stop this madness. I believe that's going to be the backdrop that will thrust the Antichrist into the forefront. Hyrus, have you noticed how uptight everybody is? Have you noticed? Have you been hearing talk about how these elections are going to run here in the midst of COVID-19? Have you heard both sides of the aisle getting ready and preparing to cry foul if their candidate is not the winner? What if, potentially, In the midst of that, the rapture happens somewhere close to that event. Are you talking that soon? Well, potentially. Is it possible that the powder keg tension growing steadily in America, has it been allowed by the Lord and waiting for just the smallest little match, the spark? How far into disarray, how far in what people think of as righteous rebellion against their authorities? You've got fistfights breaking out over masks in the Walmart parking lot. You've got demonstrators demonstrating with great passion and fervor. And then at the same time, too, the vitriol that is pouring out across the websites. Make no mistake, America is a tinderbox in many respects. Could the rapture somehow be instrumental in a moment's time, all the believers in our governmental system, and there are plenty, all of the true believers in our military, and there are many, all the believers in the ranks of our first responders, there are many. What would that do potentially to disrupt what many people will regard as the strongest military and economy the planet has ever seen? Can't bug us. Why? Because we're too big to fail. Don't forget, Harvest, and anyone who might be watching this video, the rapture changes everything. Midpoint of the Great Tribulation, my people again see Jeremiah 30, verse 22, Ezekiel 39, verse 7. Jesus returns, and then finally, the end of the roadmap, so to speak, the prophetic roadmap for Israel is the millennial reign of Messiah. Human Israel now finally has achieved all that her designer, her heavenly father, has intended her to be. So that's our roadmap. Let's go to our next slide here. This last little section, of course, is what most people are interested in, the tribulation. Notice it's 1,260 days in front, 1,260 days in the back. And if you were with us last week, we talked about any seven-year period in the Jewish calendar does not have 1260 directly connected to the next 1260. You always have to have a gap. We explored the interesting possibilities that if the two witnesses, they're the first 1260, if they show up anywhere around the fifth or sixth feast of Moses, and there's a good probability that they will, but if they do, that first 1260, and if Jesus shows up on Yom Kippur fulfilling that sixth feast of Moses, then that would put 1260 in the front, 1260 in the back, with a gap in the middle of a little over 29 days. And we speculated, what if that was the place where the Antichrist, the mask, comes off? What if the abomination of desolation is set up? Because remember, in the first half of the tribulation, the Jews believe that he, the Antichrist, is their Messiah. What makes him suddenly change his stripes? I think Zechariah in the book of Revelation tell us what it is. He receives a mortal wound, a deadly wound. And he raises from that wound in a miraculous fashion. That's when the devil himself, demon possesses the man who is the Antichrist. And now he says all pretenses are off. The mask comes off. We explore that Purim may be involved. The feast or the festival of Purim in the book of Esther, where they give gifts. There's a nod to that in Revelation chapter 11, potentially. When the Antichrist is allowed to kill the two witnesses, after their 1260, which puts that in the middle, they all give gifts. We talked about that last week. Let's get back to our slide here. The first 1260, there's your two witnesses. And then there's a gap. Potentially, that's when the Antichrist dies, quote unquote. If that gap is in the middle, that month of the gap will be the Jewish month of Nisan. And what if he dies on the 14th Passover? What if he raises, because he will, it'll be a supernatural miracle. What if he raises on the Feast of First Fruits? That's when he pulls off the mask. Now the gig is up. I am God. Look, I raised this body. I am the one who made the heavens and the earth. And that other death and resurrection doesn't mean a thing because I'm in town now. What if it went down like that? Within a few days, he says, now that the gig is up, I'm going to go into that temple that I allowed the Jews to erect, and I'm going to put a statue of me there in the Holy of Holies. That's Matthew chapter 24. That's when Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation, get out of town. Why? Because the Bible says now it's 1260 days, the second half. That's when the 144,000, 12,000 each from the 12 tribes of Israel are commissioned, and then they're sealed. The judgments that happen after that in the second half don't affect them. Well, it's 1260 days from the abomination of desolation until Revelation 19. What if Jesus comes back and touches down on the Mount of Olives, says Zechariah 14? By the way, when he does, there's your real triumphal entry. They had the chance on Palm Sunday, but now he says, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's Revelation 19. Back to our slide. We noticed something perhaps a couple weeks ago for your consideration. We explored Ezekiel chapter 4, and we combined that with Leviticus chapter 26. And it would appear that there is a ticking clock. What do you mean? Well, in 606 BC, they were in their Babylonian exile for 70 years. If you take the prophecy of Ezekiel 4, we did the exercise, and then times that times 7, that means that Israel, after her 70 years of exile, still owed the Lord 907,200 days. 606 BC, 70 years for time served. Now you're 907,200 days. You know what date you come up with in modern history? May 14th, 1948. There's your 70 years time served. 2,483 years, 9 months, 14 days. That's 907,200 days. Until 1948. Jesus in Matthew 24 said, by the way, when Israel falls, and she will, to the Romans, she's going to come back again one day. And he likened Israel to the fig tree. If you have a concordance, run that reference down and you'll find it's a very apt description of Israel. Jesus said, the generation that sees Israel become a nation again, after the Roman dispersion, the generation that sees Israel bloom like a fig tree will not all pass away until all these things are fulfilled. And what he's speaking of there is the end of the tribulation, Revelation 19. Let me rephrase. Is Jesus saying that there will be people alive when he comes back, Revelation 19, that were alive in 1948? He said that generation will not all pass away. Well, how long's a generation? Then we went to Psalm 90, verse 10, where Moses says the generation or days of man are about 70 years or 80 by reason of good health. So, is that just sort of out there for no reason? It could be. Is it simply rhetorical? It might be. Or is there at least the possibility, like many of the Psalms, that it's dripping with prophecy? I don't know. We'll have to see. But if you're doing the math in your head, there it is. Wait a minute. Israel will celebrate her 80th birthday in about 8 years from now. go to our next slide. Go ahead. Oh, come on, Pastor Steve. They've been saying Jesus is coming back for ages. In fact, my grandmother, or great-grandmother, and I know that they have. Paul himself was pretty convinced that the rapture was happening soon. But there's a few things you have to consider if you take the balance of all the prophecies and put them sort of up on the blackboard and take a look at them. Well, what are you talking about? Well, number one, it was premature to say that Jesus could come back at any time before 1948, when Israel was back in the land. Before the Jews had a physical land, an actual nation, it would be premature. Number two, it was premature to say that Jesus was coming back until weapons of mass destruction. What are you talking about? Well, Jesus said about the Battle of Armageddon, if I didn't return, there would be no flesh left on the earth. What he's saying there is, the people would destroy themselves so completely that there would be no life left on the planet. How would that even be possible when your weapons and the technology they're in basically amounted to bows and arrows and chariots? It was the nuclear age, make no mistake, that opened the door. It was premature to say Jesus could come back at any time until weapons of mass destruction. Number three, satellite telecommunications. We saw in the book of Revelation on Sunday, chapter 11, that the two witnesses, when God finally allows them to be killed at the end of their 1260-day ministry, that the whole world, every tribe, every tongue, sees their dead bodies there in Jerusalem, completely unavailable to the humans until satellite telecommunication and a smartphone in your pocket. It's been said, looking at even the poorest regions on the planet, the deepest jungles of South America, they don't have a water system, but they have a cell phone. It's true. Number four, internet available at the push of a button on my phone in any location that I choose. I can plug my brain into filthy unrighteousness. Christians never look at stuff like that. Oh, yes, we do. But here's the deal. Our sins are forgiven. God says that practice is not going to be profitable for you for sure. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, one of the descriptions of the days of Noah was that everybody's brain was plugged in on a daily basis to abominable things. And I personally believe that the advent of the internet plus the cell phone technology, that has come true in a full sense of that term. Number five, I think it was premature to say that Jesus could come back at any time before global banking and monetary systems. We've got more in-depth teaching on that, but suffice it to say, you take your bank card and you zip it through the store in sparks, or travel all the way across the planet and zip your card there, and it works. A cashless, checkless society where actual hard currency is frowned upon by the globalists who know we need to be able to control, have a monitoring system to keep track of everything spent by anybody at any time. That's going to see its fruition in Revelation chapter 13 when the Antichrist will come up with some sort of identifying mark that goes in the forehead or on the hand, and you can't buy or sell without that mark. How ridiculous was that before satellite telecommunications, which is the horse that global banking and financial monitoring systems ride upon?